third building site. فقال, he answered, لَبِنَةٌ مِّن ذَهَبٍ وَلَبِنَةٌ مِّن فِضَّةٍ, a brick of gold, a brick of silver. وَمَضَاقُهَا أَيْمُونَتُهَا, and مِسْكٌ, the cement that holds the two bricks together of your house in the Jannah is of musk, sweet smelling perfume. وَحَصْبَاؤُهَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْيَاقُوتُ, the stones when you're walking, or the pebble, are made of pearls and emeralds. وَتُرَابُهَا الزَّعْفُرَانُ, saffron is this dirt. مَنْ يَدْخُلْهَا يَنْعَمْ وَلَا يَبْأَسْ, the one who enters the Jannah shall feel happiness and never sadness. وَيَحْلُدْ وَلَا يَمُوتْ, shall live in it forever and never taste death. وَلَا يَفْنَى شَبَابُ, never will he lose his youthfulness. وَلَا تَبْلَى ثِيَابُ, and never will his clothing become out of dated or worn out. Allah describes to you the Jannah by saying, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, those who are foremost in the dunya in worshipping Allah shall be the foremost in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, they are the ones that are nearest to Allah. Where? فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, amidst gardens of paradise. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ, many from the early generations of Al-Islam. This is why you follow the Sahaba. Al-Imam Ahmad, Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Al-Azam, Abu Hanifa. This is why you follow them. They are the greatest of generations. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ, they are the most that shall enter the Jannah and be the foremost in it. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ, and few from our generation. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَوْضُونَ, reclining on raised thrones that have embroidered in them gold and jewels. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَيْهَا مُتَقَابِلِينَ, sitting and lying facing one another in a reclining position. يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَّعِينٍ, passing around them as servants are youth of perpetual, are children of perpetual youth, bringing to them wine for them to drink. And do not ever confuse anything in the Jannah with what you have here today. For what is in the Jannah, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and never can be imagined by you. So the wine will not make you intoxicated. لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون, never will they be heavy-headed or intoxicated from drinking it. وفاكهة مما يتخيرون, and fruit that they may choose whatever they wish. Again, when we say fruit, it doesn't mean the brown bananas that we have here, or an orange that if you cut it, your knife goes all the way through. No, in the Jannah, it is different. The names are the same, but the taste, the color, the look, the smell is different. I leave you with a final hadith, narrated by Imam Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ says to the Sahaba, سَأَلَ مُوسَى بْنِ عِمْرَانَ رَبَّهُ, Moses asked his Lord. Listen to the question, and we know Moses used to speak and converse with Allah without a barrier in hearing or sound. He could not see Allah, but he could speak with Him. Musa asked Allah, مَا أَدْنَى أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا, what is the lowest level? I repeat, what is the lowest, the minimum in the Jannah? Allah answered him by saying, it will be given to a man, رجل, يجيء, he shall come, بعد أن دخل أهل الجنة الجنة وبعد أن أخذوا منازلهم وأخذوا أخذاتهم, this man, he will come after all of the people who were allowed the Jannah, paradise, shall be given paradise, and shall take whatever they wish from it. And Allah shall make it seem to this person that there is no room in the Jannah. Not a single seat, not even an eyelash of room in the Jannah. Allah shall come, go to the Jannah. It will seem, فَيَظُنَّ أَنَّهَا مَلْأَى, he shall think it's full. فَيَرْجِعْ, he shall return to Allah, فَيَقُولْ, فَكَيْفَ يَا رَبُّ وَقَدْ أَخَذَ النَّاسُ أَخَذَاتِهِمْ وَنَزَلُوا مَنَازِلَهُمْ, how can I enter when everything is taken? Nothing for me. So Allah shall answer him by saying, أَفَرْضَى, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ, Allah asking his servant, would you be pleased if أن يكون لك ملك ملك من ملوك الدنيا, would you be pleased if I gave you the kingdom and dominion of the richest of kings to live on this earth? And this is from Allah. Not something I'm saying, I'll give you $100 if you answer my question. No. Allah saying, would you be pleased if I gave you the kingdom of a king from this earth that you used to live on? And the man shall say, Bala, surely, O Allah, I will take it. فَيَقُولُ لَكَ ذَلِكَ. Allah shall say, you have this kingdom. وَمِثْلَهُ 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 وَمِثْلَهُ. You are given this kingdom. And once more, and once more, and once more, and once more. And on the fifth, this humble servant shall say, رَضِيْتُ يَا رَبِّ. It's enough for me, O Allah. Five kingdoms. From the richest of kings to live on this earth. This is the lowest level. And it's not finished yet. Allah shall say, لَكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ. These five are for you. وَعَشْرَةُ أَمْثَالِكَ. And 10 times its amount. This is for you and me in the Jannah. This is why you are a servant. This is why you withstand the pressure and the trial. And you have patience. لَكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ. وَعَشْرَةُ أَمْثَالِكَ. These five kingdoms and 10 times, meaning 50 times the kingdom of the richest of kings of this earth. فَيَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ رَضِيْهُ. The servant shall say, O Allah, it is enough. So Musa perplexed. He said, Ya Rabb, فَمَا بَالُ أَعْلَاهَا مَنْزِلًا. If this is the lowest, O Allah, what about the highest? Musa wants to know, he's a prophet. He wants to know what he shall receive. So Allah tells him, أولئك الذين أرث موسى دون أعلم. These are the ones that I have chosen. غرست كرامتهم بيدي وختمت عليها. I have planted their honor with my own hand and I have sealed it. No one knows. فلا عين رأت. No eye has seen. ولا أذن سمعت. No ear has heard. ولا خطر على قلب بشر. And no human being's heart could ever imagine what is set in store. So I leave you with these words. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us from our different cities and our different places, to gather us all once again in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Tabarakasmuk. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I actually don't know if there are questions, or if they're allowing questions. I know I've taken a little bit of time. If the questions are related to the topic, if they're oral or written, I will do my best. I don't know what Naveed has decided. Inshallah, we're going to have a questions and answers session now, and inshallah there's some brothers who are going to give out the papers now. So I request the brothers to give out the papers. If there's an oral question, if someone has a question he wishes to ask, public. Actually, I used to have the brother, he says, try to tell the brothers and sisters not to answer their exams in the way you did. I was blessed actually by having a Muslim OEC chemistry teacher. Who he did a chemical engineering degree, and he said, I used to test myself by going into exams and things that I've never read about, that have multiple choice, and try to do and answer as good as I can. And there are certain systems and certain things that if you know, you can figure out how to answer multiple choice and other types of questions. But usually A is not the answer. So stay away from A. The first question, it says, what will happen to the Muslims who delay their salah in their life? This is a serious question. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Quran was revealed to him, in Surah Maryam, there is an ayah that says, فَخَلَقَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. In Surah Maryam, Allah describing the Prophet, and after they pass away, after a Prophet of Allah was sent and he passed away, the people that he left behind, they would begin gradually to delay their prayers. To delay their prayers. So Allah in the Quran says, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They shall be punished with something named al-ghay. Al-Imam ibn Kathir and Imam al-Qurtubi and other Imams of Tafsir, they describe to us al-ghay. Although there isn't an authentic hadith describing it from the Prophet ﷺ, they bring to us the narrations of Abdullah ibn Abbas and ibn Mas'ud describing al-ghay, وَادٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. وَادٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. This ghay, this severe punishment that is promised to the one who delays his salah, not leaves it, but the one who makes up at Maghrib time. Maghrib with Isha, Fajr after the sun, Dhuhr with Asr. For these people who delay, not miss it, they shall be rewarded with al-ghay. Wadin fi jahannam, they will be in a valley in the fire. Ba'idun qa'r, deep in the fire. خَبِيثٌ طَعْمُ, evil to speak about, evil to mention. تَشْمَئِذُّ مِنْهُ أَهْلُ النَّارِ, all of the people that are in the fire, ask Allah to stay away from this place. For the one who delays his salah. So what about the one who misses the salah? So this is, I hope, enough of an answer. What will happen to the Muslims if they delay their salah? The second question, also from the same person, what will happen to the Muslim parents who did not complete their duties? The Muslim parent who does not complete his duties shall find that his children shall not complete their duties. Except on whom Allah has mercy. Meaning, Allah tells us in, I think, verse number 9 in Surah Al-Nisa, فَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Allah instructing the parents who have children, if you are in fear that your son or your daughter will not practice Islam or will not be righteous, let them, those who have this fear, let them themselves fear Allah and let them speak a straightforward word. Meaning that your son and your daughter, generally speaking, will be your reflection. So the Muslim parents must realize this. That if he is a person who does not eat halal and feeds his children halal, they are grown with this. And the Prophet ﷺ says, whatever is raised on eating haram, النار أولى به, the fire is more needy of him than anything else. Is more deserving of him. So the parents must be fearful for himself and for his children. For you will be brought on the day of judgment with your children hanging on to your neck, as is in the different hadith and narrations. And they shall be holding on to your neck. And they shall say to Allah, my father did not teach me. He did not say pray when salat time came. He did not teach me how to make wudu. Wallahi, I have seen children 15 years old who do not know how to say As-Sahiyyatu Lillah. In the University of Toronto, one of my brother's acquaintances, I do not call him a friend, a Muslim from an Arab country, raised his whole life, 16 years of his life, in an Arab country. He came to Canada 7 years ago. My brother attends an Arabic class that the university holds, because it has an Arabic speaking program in it. And the teacher is a Jew, But she plays for them the Quran so that they will learn what it sounds like. And this young man, in his second year of university, 7 years after leaving a Muslim country, he turns to my brother and he says, "Do you know this is my first time to hear the Quran in 7 years? My first time to hear the Quran in 7 years. My brother, he says, "What about Salah? Forget listening, what about Salah? Don't you at least read Al-Fatiha?" He goes, "I haven't prayed in 9 years. 9 years. My brother brought him to the Jumu'ah. We have the Jumu'ah in the university. A lot of Muslim students in our university, Toronto, maybe 6,000-7,000. Yet surprisingly, you only have maybe 400, 500, 600 Muslims who will attend Jumu'ah. So it's about, you know, not even, I wouldn't say 10%, not even a quarter of that will come to Jumu'ah. And my brother brought him along. He found great difficulty in sitting on the ground listening to the Jumu'ah that was 20 minutes in length. He couldn't take sitting no more. He had to get up and stand and, you know, walk around. He's not accustomed to sitting. Didn't know what to do in Salah, was mixed up. Who is at fault? Surely the youth, this person is at fault, yet his parents shall be asked by Allah, "What have you taught your child?" Listen to this blessed hadith, the first hadith in Sahih Muslim. The first hadith, it begins by Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar saying, "Haddathani abi." My father narrated to me that the Rasulullah said, as a Muslim parent, what have you narrated to your child? This is what they used to say. My father taught me. My father, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said to me, the Rasulullah said, what will you leave back for your children? And this is one of the three things that after you pass away, you will get blessings for. عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ وَلَدٌ صَالِحْ يَدْعُ لَهُ أَوْ صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ. A charity you have given in the cause of Allah, or a young man or daughter, your children, who will grow up to be righteous to make dua for you. Or you have taught someone beneficial knowledge that they will keep on passing along. So this is an important question. Hopefully it is a sufficient answer for it, inshaAllah. Another question, it says, you say that the woman should wear the scarf so that the men look at, so that the men won't look at them. But if they stand out, the men will look at them. You are mistaken for many reasons. First, the Muslim woman does not just wear a scarf. That's first. So the Muslim woman's hijab, it is not something you just wear. It's your whole attitude. Right? Hijab is not this. Anyone can do that. Hijab is humbling yourself to Allah, knowing that He has ordered you as your Creator to be worshipping of Him and follow His guidance. And from His guidance to you is that you as a Muslim woman must cover yourself. Do you know that the shaitan, the first thing he attacked Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa with, was trying to remove their garments? Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, "Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, let not the shaytan deceive you. لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة." Let not the shaytan deceive you as he tricked your parents from before you. How did he trick them? ينزع عنهما لباسهما, by removing their garments off them. This is why Adam and Hawa were kicked out of the Jannah. Why? The shaitan came, ينزع, removed their garments off them by whispering to them. Why? إنه يراكم هو وقبيله. Surely the shaitan and his tribe see you from a place that you see them not. So therefore the hijab, it's not just something you wear, it's the order of Allah, because you are protecting yourself from the shaitan. If not only the sight of men. Second, quickly, the hijab, it is seven things. Seven different levels that all must be combined together, covering every part of the body except the hands and the face. This is the first. Second, the clothing must be wide, encompassing, not tight, not revealing. Third, it should not be perfumed. Fourth, it should not attract the sight of men. Fifth, it should not be in the same type of clothing that a man naturally or normally wears. So I don't mean a pair of running shoes. You can have the same running shoes that a man wears, but you cannot dress in clothes that is exclusive for men. For example, wallahi, I was shocked. I'm walking one day and I saw a person wearing, you know, the Saudi, the red kufiya. I'm thinking it's a brother. Salaamu alaykum ya akhi. Person turns around. It's a woman. Do you see the difference? Clothing that's exclusive for a man, you can't wear. For many different reasons, not just that. Also, the clothing that you wear, it must not be shaffaf, meaning it cannot be see-through. Cannot be see-through. And seventh and finally, it must not be the same in the same manner that the clothing that that disbelieving women are accustomed to wearing. So these are the levels of hijab in clothing. Hijab also means dignifying yourself in acting in a certain manner. And I narrated to the brothers in the Jumu'ah that I gave today the story of a Muslim sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and bring down his patience upon her heart and upon her family's heart. A Muslim woman, not much older or younger than you are today, 19 years old, in a city in Ontario, I will not tell you which city due to the sensitivity of this issue. 19 years old, her parents made the most difficult and worst decision of their life, which was they allowed her to live on the residence of the university. They allowed her to live with women. It's a woman's residence, but she's sharing bathrooms, cooking utensils, the kitchen with a Sikh, two Christians, and a Buddhist. She's living with them. They're all women. Her parents allowed her. She's a freshman, first year of the university. She doesn't wear hijab. She doesn't cover herself. She was soon invited to a party, as is common in all of the universities. She was given a drink that she swears by Allah she did not know contained alcohol. She began to drink and to drink, thinking it's fruit punch. You may laugh. You may laugh. She drank. Quickly, and as you laugh, I am sure what I will say next will affect you. For wallahi, when I heard it, it brought me to tears. When I was confronted with it live, she drank and she became intoxicated and passed out. She woke up later to find that she had been raped. Not once. Not twice. Not by one man. Not by two, but by three different men. The police were informed. They call her father's house 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning. And they say to him, this has transpired. This has happened to your daughter. The man being of an older age, being of a advanced in age, when he heard the news, he suffered a heart attack. And he passed away. Rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy upon him. And then we recite in the Qur'an, we listen in Ramadan, in Surah Al-Ahzab, the Prophet telling, the Prophet ordered by Allah, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, O Prophet of Allah, tell your wives, kulli azwajin. Don't tell anyone else, first. Tell your wives, Aisha, Khadija, tell them. وَبَنَاتِكْ And then your daughters. وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And then tell all of the believing women. What should you order them with, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ Tell them to cover themselves and draw their veils over their bodies. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ This will be better for them so that they will be covered and known to be free, respectable Muslim women. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا And surely Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So to answer your question, you will not stand out because you wear hijab. And if you stand out, it will be for a good reason. You will stand out as a person, yeah, don't talk to her, she's not like that. This is why you will stand out. So hopefully what we have said is a sufficient answer, wallahu a'lam. To the previous. What happens, or what should you do when your father or your mother say that you are to take off your hijab or you get out of the house? And you are still not in financial safety, I presume, to take care of yourself. Honestly, I feel I should not dignify this as an answer. Because any man that tells his daughter not to wear hijab, he is not a man. He's not a man. And he should know this. And this should be carried to him. And if he has a question, he can come and talk to me. And I will tell him, you are not a man. And I say this openly. How could anyone consider saying such a ignorant statement that not even a disbeliever would say? How could someone say something so ridiculous as to tell their daughter, if you don't wear hijab, get out of my house? This person, if he dies in this state, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have mercy upon him, he will be in the fire as a repentance for these deeds. And he should know this. And how could the mother, who is a woman herself, allow such a statement to take place? It is important for us to understand that the laws of Allah are not something we play with. And Imam al-Shafi'i, a person came to him and he said, what if a hadith is carried to me that the Rasul said, not Allah, the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, and I don't want to do it? The Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i, he said to this man, pretend that the Rasul is standing in front of you and tell him no. What's the difference? Fighting the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could any person with any amount of belief or intelligence say such a statement? Subhanallah. May Allah soften his heart and bring him to the truth and the iman of those who are righteous and fearing of Allah. How do you recommend a sister to lower her gaze is the next question. This is a question that is important. Lowering the gaze is an order that Allah ordered the men and then the women with. Allah says to the believing man, lower your gaze. This is more beneficial for your belief in Allah. And then he says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, tell the believing women, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, to lower their gaze also. Lowering the gaze does not mean that you walk and bump your head in a tree. It's not what it means. But lowering the gaze means صَرْفُ النَّظَرِ, that when you see haram, you remove yourself. So you're not walking like this, you're walking in a normal manner, but when something is disobedient to Allah, that you know you are not permitted to see, and it's inside you, if you have belief, you know. I should not, even if you don't have belief, you know inside you, you should not be looking at this. And automatically you are supposed to turn your gaze. So this hopefully, inshaAllah, is enough of an indicator of what to do or how you should feel right before you need to lower your gaze. That if you have belief, this will come and it will be natural. It will be second hand to you. Whoever it is, whether you're talking, you know, wallahi, if Hillary Clinton's right here, I would not dignify her with a look. You would not dignify her with a look. And the same should be if it is a Muslim woman. And if it's Bill Clinton over here, hopefully no one will dignify him with a look, inshallah. The next question, if a group of people enter the masjid after jama'ah, should they pray by themselves? We hear this question every city we travel to. If you come to a masjid, and that the imam, this masjid is known to have Imam Rafid, an imam that is there for the 5 daily prayers, do not make a second jama'ah. Even if you have come late, do not. But if you are in a state of travel like myself, and I come to Al-Markaz Al-Islami, for example, and I come there, or Masjid Al-Sunnah in Montreal, if I come, and the Jama'ah has been finished, and the Imam Al-Raqib, they have all left the Masjid and no one is there, and you and your brother or another person come, you can make the second Jama'ah. The question that you should ask is, if we pray in Jama'ah, or if we do not pray in Jama'ah, is the Salah accepted and unanimously amongst all the Fuqaha? Yes. So do not make it an issue that you ask every time, every different Shaykh or Imam or student of knowledge that comes, you ask him, should we make a second Jama'ah if we miss the first? Generally speaking, no. But if it is something that will cause no harm, then it is permitted, wallahu a'lam. How should we treat Muslims who call themselves gay? Do not laugh. Because these are things that this society now, wal-ayyadu billah, has brought forth upon the Muslim ummah. First, homosexuality is not natural. Neither for the man nor for the woman. Why do we say this? The man was created to fulfill certain functions. And this is how you know what your purpose is. Homosexuality is not one of them, neither biologically, emotionally, physically. I asked a teacher once, she was a person who advocated, allow them to have the right to be teachers, to be whatever garbage they throw at you. And this teacher, she says, well, why? I said to her, would you like to have a male teacher who is openly homosexual to teach your 5-year-old child in kindergarten? Listen to her answer, because you have to even know, these people that defend, they know the truth. She answers by saying, not because he's gay, he's going to rape my child. I told her, by saying that, you have shown what you are feeling. By saying that, you know what you are feeling. Homosexuality is a disease biologically. This is what they tried to say to you. It's something we are created with. And this is rubbish. There's no gene, no enzymes, no nothing to prove it. It is something that the shaytan has placed in these people from the beginning of Lut's time. The Prophet ﷺ making the hadd, the punishment of the homosexual, Muslim or other, that when he is found, it is one of two things. A person who is homosexual and asked to repent and does not, he is to be thrown off the highest building. I live in Toronto, the Steam Tower. Or burned with fire. This is their hadd. This is the extent. Because this person has a disease that he cannot control unless he repents to Allah. So you will find that the man who is gay, he will be as promiscuous as a man. A man is known that he's promiscuous. He likes many women. But yet, he will be coveting at the same time like a woman. And they will fall into the evil deeds that you hear every day about in the news. A man walking into a pool doing this to this child. So there is no such a thing that a gay Muslim. You're either Muslim or you're not. But to play with words and to say, well, I'm Muslim and I just happen to be in this sin, it is correct. You may enter the Jannah. If Allah has mercy upon you, no one is allowed to take another person away from Islam unless they declare it. But you should be punished for this sin, and you should repent for it. For if you do not repent, Allah shall inflict His punishment upon you. AIDS is a homosexual disease, and it will be proven biologically and chemically. It's a disease that is founded in the homosexual community. Spread from them, brought from them, breeded in them, and then it spreads to the other people. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the mercy and the guidance, and to keep us away from people of such a thing. And for the Muslim people who may know of such a person, cut him off. Tell him to repent and stay away from him. Do not be in or around his or her region. 8:30 we will end. So that's another 20 minutes. What do you do in a situation where you are put into a group with someone from the opposite gender? Fear Allah as much as possible. And if you have the ability to be removed from this group or to go to another group, do so at the quickest or the most possible or leisurely manner, inshaAllah. How does one increase his or her love and fear and hope in Allah? A person increases his love, hope, and fear in Allah by understanding these principles that we have discussed with you today, and by implementing them in your life. To love Allah, show Him. To love Allah, show Him. Make dua, make this, pray at night. Many of you, I know, you will say, what do you mean pray at night? It's hard enough to pray the five daily prayers. Many Muslims now, no one wakes up at night. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ May Allah have mercy on us. Do you know the night prayer? One of the scholars of Islam, he said, وَاللَّهِ By Allah, if the mushrik, if the disbeliever knew the love that I have for praying at night, they would come and try to take it from me more than trying to come and take my land. And we know that disbelievers take our land. But if they knew this love that I had inside me, they would try to capture it instead of my land. It is a love that you have for Allah when you know that you have woken in this time when many of the people are either sleeping or committing their sins. And you stand to Allah in prayer. Turn to Him, hoping in Him, fearing in Him, and asking Him for whatever you wish. For whatever you wish. And this, I think, is the most significant way of increasing your love and fear in Allah. To recognize the bounds of Allah and to fulfill your obligations to Him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he teaches us, never will a person do the wajibat unless you will come closer to Allah. And when you do all of the compulsory actions, then you begin to do the nawafil. The secondary action, you come closer and closer to Allah. So this is how we develop our belief in Allah. What kind of sincere advice do you give the youth in Montreal? Is it to build an Islamic community? Jazakallahu khairan. Of course I give the advice, build an Islamic community. But there has to be a foundation. You can't build a building starting from the top. So if the youth are going to be this foundation, the pillars, alhamdulillah. But if it's going to be half-setting, or you're fronting, you're not doing it right, stay away from it. If you're going to take the responsibility, see it all the way through. Do it for Allah. But don't do it for any other reason. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى Build, Allah orders, a masjid that is raised on the foundations of fearing Allah. A building is just a building. But its principles and what it stands for and what sweat and toil has been put in it shall be the deciding factor. So if you want an Islamic community, it will only be raised on the foundations of fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do we have to grow the beard under the chin or the shin? Explain how the beard should be grown. Don't shave. How do we help family members? Don't shave, that's the answer. How do we help family members to practice Islam if they have strayed? The most arrogant thing that a person can do is think that he is better than someone else. And this is something that the shaitan was the full example of. Do you know the shaitan was kicked out because of one rak'ah? One prostration. How many of you missed? Many. Shaitan, one prostration. Allah ordered him, prostrate? He said no. Halal. One. If you explain it in a humble manner. And the shaitan did not stop straight because of his arrogance. أنا خير منه. I'm better than Adam. I'm from fire, he's from dirt. Logic. This is his logic, shaitanic logic. Arrogance. Do not be arrogant with any human being. Whether it's your son or your father, be humble. Give them sincere advice. My father, my son, listen to what Allah has said in the Quran. I doubt that any Muslim father who has strayed will not feel some type of joy that his son or his daughter brings the Quran and she says, my father, I want you to read this verse. And the verse says, verily salah was prescribed to be prayed at their specific time. As a reminder, that is enough. Give a good word. A good word is better than argument and discussion. Give something that will benefit you, something that you feel will be accepted from whomever you are giving the da'wah to. And do not label anyone who strays, for only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows truly what is in the hearts of the people. In the beginning we described to you a person who will not pray Jumu'ah, or the sister who will not wear hijab, and they say they love Allah. That may very well be correct, they love Allah. But it's not showing. And showing is the half the battle, is the second half of the issue. So do not come to this person and say, you strayed. Do not be a badgering person, but be someone who is respectful and good in manners, inshaAllah. How do you go about telling a person that he has a bad tongue? And that surely this is something that is found many, many, in many places in the ummah. That people speak in evil ways, lies, cheating, backbiting, namima. You tell the person again with good advice. I think the best advice that you can give is having the person read it for himself. So you go and you bring the hadith, Riyad al-Salihin, the chapter evil things. And from it, I think the first one on the list is the tongue. And you bring to him and you say, read this. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَحَدِيثُ بِنْ صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَةِ. Do you know what backbiting is? قَالُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الْغِيبَةِ هِيَ ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَقْرَأ. It is to speak of your brother in a way that he would hate. So the Sahaba told the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَوَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. What if I'm what I'm saying is right? He is such and such and such and such. He told them, if he is, this is ghiba. This is backbiting. And backbiting, Allah describes it in the Quran, eating the dead flesh of your brother. Eating dead flesh of your brother. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Would you wish to eat this dead flesh of your brother? You would hate it. This is ghiba, namima. مَنْ النَّمَّام لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. The person who makes namima, meaning transmits from one party to another words to make them fight with one another, he shall never enter the Jannah. Having the person understand the seriousness of it. And if the person continues, cut him off. Stay away from him. For he will not be a person that will benefit you in this dunya or in the hereafter. How can you help a brother if he's doing something bad or haram? I think what we have described to you should be a sufficient answer, inshaAllah. Same question about backbite. I hope it's not an indicator of what's going on here. May Allah have mercy on us, I mean. Is it halal to donate your organs after you die? What are the kinds of people who go to heaven without being judged? As for the first question, Allahu A'lam. And this is the best answer I can give you. Because I'm not an alim, I'm not an imam, I'm not a sheikh, I'm not anything. If at best, we are students of knowledge. At best, inshaAllah, this is what we would wish to be. Students who wish to learn more about Islam and give da'wah to those who may know a little less than we do. So for such a question about donating organs, فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Go to the people of knowledge and ask them. I'll narrate to you a quick story in regards to this about saying, I don't know. There used to be an imam, a great alim, very knowledgeable, who for every question had an answer. Whether he knew or did not know, every question he had, there was an answer for it. So the students of knowledge, they said, this guy, what's he doing? Everything. He's saying, Rasul said, Allah said, this, such and such. And he's misguiding the people. So the students of knowledge, they came together, and each of them put his first, the first letter of his name, and made a word. So Ahmed Alif, Khalid Kha. And they made the word, which is Khintishar. It's a made up word. And they came in front of this island, in front of all the people. And they said, Ya Shaykh. He said, yes. What is Al-Khintishar? He said, what? They said, Khintishar. Ah. Nafsun tayyibu ra'iha. It is a sweet smelling flower. Yambutu fi atraf al-Yaman. It's only found in Yemen. You're not going to go to Yemen. It's found in the middle of the desert in Yemen. And then he began by proving it, and he came to say, Qala Rasulullah. They told him, Ya Kazzab. How can you speak about Allah and about His Prophet in a way when you have no knowledge? So this is something